हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 57. King Indra continued, I will follow you to Braja, riding on my elephant, Airavata, and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods to decimate the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Footnote 26. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 7 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So, Krishna then wants all this nice arrangement to happen. Because then from that, then he can do this nice pastime with his devotees. Because taking care of Indra, that doesn't take anything. That's not a major focus. It's the ability, the opportunity to interact with the devotees. Now that's then, you know.
So it's the deliver the pious element, not the chastise the miscreants. That is the problem.
Yes, it's always. Because chastise the miscreants, Maya can do that herself. But, to help the devotees, that's what Krishna wants to do himself.
Do it in such a way that the devotees can appreciate it.
Yes.
Can we say that here Indra is very attractive to follow Krishna? So in one sense, it's also, the relation is very strong?
That's there, but I wouldn't bring that in at this point. Is that... Indra is that all it is that so many people can do things, but who has the influence like Krishna's had? So therefore, then that attraction is there, but I wouldn't necessitate that it's a positive one.
Yes.
But it does have the element that because it's connected to Krishna, then it will get some. You'll get some benefit. But the same time is that it's not that the difficulties that come up with that focus are also not obtained, right? Like Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu, they were focused on Vishnu, and so because of that they became liberated, but it's not that they didn't die as a consequence, you know, something like that. While you see those devotees who do things favorably, then they get a different reaction, like that. So the medium you use, it also is reciprocated through that medium. You know what I'm saying?
I think that Srila Rupa Goswami defines it Anukulyena Krishna Anushivanam. So it should be complete. Anukulyena from our side, and we try to please Krishna in a favorable mood.
Yes.
And then Krishna's gaining pleasure, but from demons, he's also fighting with them. He's gaining pleasure.
Yes.
But because from their side, it's missing. So you can actually call it pure devotional service.
Yeah, yeah. Also, there wouldn't be that it's not free from karma gyan.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So that is directed at Krishna. That's the good part. That's why, from the discussion this morning, you want some material desire, you turn to Krishna. And Krishna in the Gita does say, there is a shloka where Krishna says that where people are worried that it'll take too long to worship Vishnu, they turn to the demigods. But they're still all classified in the foolish category. You know, they're thinking they're being smart or practical, but they're actually being idiots. What to do? Yes. Yes, so they themselves aren't committed to the relationship, it just happens to be Krishna. Like, while the devotees are committed to that relationship, like you're saying. But because it's directed at the Lord, you do get the benefit. You know, just like you direct things at the Lord through the material energy, you still get the benefit. Because you deal with the material energy properly, you know, for a particular benefit, then Krishna reciprocates with that benefit. So you are worshipping Krishna, but just as the material energy. Right? So he's reciprocating as Hiranyagarbha. You're dealing with them without knowledge, but that's who you're dealing with. You don't get less than that. And so then you're dealing on that Brahman platform. And therefore you're getting results on that platform. But they won't get the devotion. Right? Because it's not connected. But when they deal with him as Bhagavan, and it's directed at Bhagavan, then from there they'll get liberation. Right? So when you're dealing with Brahman and Paramatma and not Bhagavan, then you may or may not get liberated. It's very difficult. But you'll get materially entangled, yes. But if you're dealing with Bhagavan, no matter what it is, then as a minimum you get liberated. Right. So, yeah. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, "What can the power of a small being do to me? I will come after you to Vraja, Anuvraje. I will come riding on Airavata, since if you lack water, he can supply it. I will come along with 49 winds to destroy the village of Krishna's father, or the village of he who takes joy in bhakti or satisfies the world. I will destroy that village, Goshta, and not the city of Mathura." He was afraid of powerful Kamsa. This bad decision indicates the inauspicious nature of his journey. So, yeah, he's going to make sure that it doesn't bother Mathura, because he wouldn't want Kamsa coming after.
There's a shortage of water supply. So does it mean that Indra was aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the subtle level?
No, it's just as if, I think he's just giving support and also his own pride. Because he is the king of the demigods, then naturally they all depend upon him in his mind. Right? He's just there to do Krishna's work. Krishna can do it himself without even any difficulty. But he gives the opportunity to the living entity to take part in this way. You know, to keep themselves busy as an activity, as a service. So therefore, as if you run out of water, then he can supply, because Airavata, you know, it's also another way, as if, you know, it'd be like, because they didn't want to go, they were afraid of going. And then he said that, you know, you go and I will also come. You know, it's just like saying, you know, to the enemy like that, you know, as if, you know, your sword's too heavy or something, I can help you pick it up and then we can actually have a proper fight. You know, so does that mean, you know, anything? So it's like this, that they're just, it's just Indra being Indra. Because the clouds get the sun, get the water from the sun, but Airavata appears he can produce water on his own. So therefore, if they run out of water that they've accumulated, he can supply more. You know, so like this. Yeah. But the main problem is its decision, not how much water there is. Is that, yeah? Sukadeva Goswami said, "On Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them." Right? So this happens at the end when there's destruction. It shouldn't be happening now, so it's untimely, it's improper. "Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones." Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates, "Indra released those clouds capable of creating an ocean in the universe at the time of destruction." Right? Because the universe fills up with water up to, you know, basically Indraloka, or at least up to the Earth planet. And everything below that submerged, so they have to be able to produce that much water. So that's why this pastime is so amazing, that they're performing their duties that should fill up the universe with water. But by Krishna's arrangement, they can't even properly flood Vrindavan. So that's where he starts to see, because otherwise these clouds rain, it fills up. That's just the way it works, right? Does that make sense? You know, but they can't. They can't do that. That means there's something going on here. Nothing's been destroyed. Everything's just fine. You know, so Indra will start to slowly realize that something's not quite what he expected here. Losing his determination because of anger, he released the clouds, not considering the proper amount. Right? Because if he just wanted to rain a lot, regular clouds could rain a lot. You know? The clouds began to rumble with thunder, and they moved here and there by the Avahand Pravaha winds. Footnote 27. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the Avaha is the wind god who presides over the region of Burloka, and Pravaha is the wind god who holds the planets in their places. Buvarloka. As the clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth was submerged in the flood, and high ground could no longer be distinguished from low. The cows and other animals shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies, pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall, and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates. With great effort, they covered their heads and their children. They took shelter of Krishna's feet, approaching very close out of affection and with a desire to protect him. This would reveal his unlimited powers in protecting his devotees and his affection for the miserable. Bhagavataha means of the Lord who is the object of great affection. So Krishna's taking care of them, because in this storm they're able to cover themselves, cover their the children. So it's great difficulty, but they're still able to do it. So this is Krishna taking care. Otherwise, in this kind of thing, it's the end of the universe, so, you know, it's not going to work. But they're able to make it work. Sukadeva Goswami continued, seeing the inhabitants of his Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra.
Maharaj, you have dropped it.
Sorry?
I mean, you have skipped the cowherd men woman interest. 13, verse number 13. We haven't done that.
Oh, okay. The cowherd men and women addressed the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Remembering the words of Garga Muni, quote, this child will deliver you from all dangers, end quote, the inhabitants had faith that that at this time of great danger, Narayana would enter Krishna and protect them, right? So that's how they were seeing it. Because technically, when he kills the demons, he does so as Narayana. Because it's Krishna, he's just interacting in the sweet aspects. So they're thinking it's just Krishna, their boy, and then Narayana enters at this time, and then takes care of the problem, and then he goes, you know, back to being their regular child. So in this way, they're thinking. So it's not that he's a demigod, it's not that this and that, but, you know, he's like that, but at the same time is. So that way they can reconcile everything, and everything goes nicely.
Maharaj, like you had mentioned, Narayana would enter Krishna. And it has been seen that when a powerful entity enters an ordinary person, then that person has been worshipped by many people. Until that entity is in the body of that other person.
Yeah.
And so no, just because Narayana has now entered Krishna's body, that's their understanding. So we don't worship for that particular period of time on Krishna as Narayana.
Then who worships because Narayana's present?
Yeah.
Who does the worship when Narayan's present?
Devotees.
And what is the flavor of the devotees? And the Brajabasis are in sweetness. Okay, so then will they worship? It's the same Krishna, just Krishna is doing some nice stuff. You understand? Just because there's greatness there doesn't mean it has to be reciprocated in that platform. Right? Because is it about justice? Is it about, equal reaction for action? It's about Krishna's pleasure. Right? Because we're looking that if I don't worship him when he deserves it, I won't get my benefits when I deserve it. Yeah? You understand? Yeah. So, therefore, the Brajbasis don't have that problem because they'll do 100% for Krishna, though they'll get zero back. So they're in another category. That's why these things don't apply to them. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. Okay, not that.
Shukadeva Goswami continued.
Okay. Okay, Shukadeva Goswami continued. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. The BBT purport states, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents in Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. That's why we see is that those verses that were there were actually about the aspects of prema, because this is just one way that Krishna is arranging how that they will be involved in that aspect of prema. So it's the underlying aspect that's there. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food, and thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra, and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. So they're not getting any material anxiety by this, because they're surrendered to Krishna. But it's a seeming type of anxiety, right? It's there, it's part of the various anubhavas, there are santri bhavas. So all these different kinds of things just bring out and enhance the main rasa that's going on. Right? They just support that. They're not distracting from it. Because we get an anxiety, we tend to, be distracted. But there, these things make them more intensely absorbed in Krishna. That's why they're not actually disturbed by them on the mundane platform like that. It's an activity that increases their love. So they have their activities, they do their duties, and those are going to be disturbed. But they're worried about Krishna, because why is the village there? Why is everything there? Just to please Krishna. So now if the village is destroyed, the cows are destroyed, all the cowherd boys and girls are destroyed, then how is that going to be pleasing to Krishna? In a sense, so they're doing their best to protect that and taking shelter of Krishna that he will correct all these things. Yes? Sri Krishna said to himself, because we have stopped this sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusual, fierce, unreasonable rain, together with terrible winds and hail. Right? So he's saying, that means it's unusual. So it's unseasoned. It's not correct. It's not the proper response. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves the lord of the universe. I will now destroy such ignorance. Right? He's going to destroy the ignorance, not Indra. That's the important point, because you need an Indra. Someone has to run everything. I mean, Krishna could do it himself, but then what will the living entities do? So, therefore, it's a... Yeah, actually, that's his spot where he sits. He just sat on his spot. So he should move a little to the left or right. Yeah, I mean, see, there's right in front of the column where that seat is. Now, if he sits down now, will he not bump into you? You're sure?
Yes.
But you shift over just a touch, then that's that. He's just standing now because he wants to stand. Right? That's why the chudder's there. You see that. You don't sit on someone else's chudder. Prabhupada says, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. So. I will now destroy such ignorance. Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them, because they're situated in goodness. That's the prominent. But because goodness means there's some passion ignorance there, then they can get affected, but they shouldn't. But occasionally they do. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. Footnote 28. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 17 to Bhagavad Akramichi Malas, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Gaudi Ma, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So here is that by removing this difficulty that the devotee has where they're getting distracted, so then by again establishing them properly, then they can remember him and be absorbed in him. Right? But if they don't, then it gets more of a problem. Does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Oh, no, wait a minute. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Krishna said, since Indra is pouring rain to destroy my father and others, included in the word asmabhihi, in verse 15, who are non-different from me, I will now take countermeasures for that. And at the same time, I will take away the ignorance of these controllers of planets. This is proper. Therefore, I will immediately protect this village through my natural extraordinary power, Atma Yogena. Not only now will I protect. This protection is eternally accomplished. It is my vow to or rule to protect this community. This village is protected by me, Mach Charanam, since I am the master of this village, Man Na Tam. It should be protected like my family, even by criminal means, Parigraham. Vridhau Cha Mata Pitarau Sadvi Bharya Suta Shishu Apyakarya Satshatam Kritva Bhartavya Manur Abhravit. Manu has said that the elders, mother, father, chaste wife, sons, and children should be protected even by criminal means. The village has taken shelter of me and should be protected by me because I am everything to them. They love only me, therefore I will protect them. Right? So Krishna then in the pastime is going through all these considerations. So that's part of the taste that he is appreciating. He's going through, he's interacting with the devotees, and then all these considerations come up. He thinks all these things, he contemplates these. And so that's part of the taste that is there in devotional service. I mean, in his mentality of tasting rasa, right? Reciprocating with their devotional service. Because one may say, but he's God, but that's the point is he is God, that's just because that's his position. But that's not the important thing to him.
Yes. Maharaj, what is meant by, even by criminal means?
You do whatever needs to be done. But it has to be because that's what you're doing. Then when you don't have to use criminal means, you'll stop using criminal means. Right? Let's say, what was his name? Like, when you have so much money that you have boats, you have planes, you have palaces, you have or whatever there is that you can buy, do you still need to be running your cartel to take care of your family? No. So that's the whole point. They've gone way beyond. So therefore, it's, something may come up. It may be temporary you're doing. But that's because just it's a desperate moment. You do something. But after that, then you go back to normal. Does that make sense? So that kind of thing's there. So it's understood. There are emergency, but after emergency is over, then it should be normal. So who's applying emergency? People who those who actually do their duties. So it's not for those who never do their duties to comment on it, because those who never do their duties, then they'll see everything as emergency because they're not willing to do their duties. So only those who practice properly, then it will make sense. But otherwise, you can take it to extreme, which non-practitioners of the Vedic culture love to do. And so let us say, you know, how you say there's some problem or that, and you have, say, a fire at your house, and so you run across the street and take your neighbor's hose. You don't ask him if you can borrow it. So that's criminal means. And then you go back and this and that, and then it's understood. Because then you go back and you make things right. Does that make sense? Or is that, yeah. You know, so you're being chased by people who are trying to harm you, and you're running and knocking over all the things in the mall and everything like that. So it's not proper to do that. But at the same time, it's not the standard thing in a mall, being chased by guys with guns, right? You know, so in other words, you do what needs to be done. But that doesn't mean now I can just do whatever I like. No, you have to follow the Shastra. But if things are somehow in an emergency, then other things can be done. So it takes maturity to follow this. But those who just say we chant, we don't care for the rules, they shouldn't go near this one. Like that. Yeah. The present tense is used to show that it is nature to protect them. He will protect them by his natural power, Atma Yogena, right? So is he using criminal means? No. So he's using it by his own natural power. So that's what the point to be gained here is, not the being distracted by this point. The point is that he's showing by any means he will protect his devotees. That's just how it works. Right? That's the whole point, is that you take that, so it's by that feeling you feel, I'm willing to do anything to protect. But in actuality, you do what's proper. Right? According to your ability. So here, this is his Atma Yogena. By his own yoga, then he's able to protect everybody nicely. Yes? Yes.
Technically, because he cannot do anything improper. So
that's there also, but there may be things that we might think are improper. But then, like for demigod worshipers, they'll think that his stopping the sacrifice was improper. But he's protecting the devotional service of his devotees, so therefore he's doing that. And he's correcting Indra, who's deviated from the proper situation, and bringing him back by, making him upset. So seemingly all these things aren't proper, but at the same time, is like you said, because they're connected with him, they're all proper. Because whatever he does, that is proper. Although this is eternally accomplished, it will now be enacted. Right? So they're always protected, the devotees. But now Krishna will act in such a way that you'll see it happening. Right? Because it couldn't just happen like that. Suddenly this, because he was using the winds from this place, right? The winds and the that hold the planets together here, and that work with Bur Mandal. Bur Loka. Right? So like that. He could bring other winds, because he's the potency of Varuna, and just blow all the clouds back up to Indra's place. So now he has hail. Right? But he doesn't. He goes in and does something so that you can see Krishna then protects his devotees. Because it's about rasa, it's about pastimes. It's not about being in control. That's the thing we have to get beyond. The reason is given. Krishna continues, I have made this promise, Vratam, as the Lord, with eternal human pastimes. I should break the pride of Indra in order to protect the people of Braja. Since Indra has the tendency to oppose the cowherds surrendered to me, it is not inclined to surrender. So he has that inclination because he wants to see himself as superior. And definitely, okay, some other kshatriyas like Kamsa, he'll leave him alone. But Vaishyas, he's going to listen, he's going to take stuff from him, them, you know, no. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna understood that this was a deliberate exhibition of anger by Indra. He therefore concluded, this demigod who thinks himself supreme has showed his great power, but I shall answer him according to my position, and I shall teach him that he is not autonomous in managing universal affairs. I am the supreme lord over all, and I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has arisen from his power. The demigods are my devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget my supremacy. But somehow or another, he has become puffed up with material power, and thus is now maddened, right? Because in madness, then you forget, that becomes from pride, right? We always have to remember, of the six enemies, madness comes from pride, right? So that's why sometimes it's interpreted as pride, generally it's just called madness, right? So, being devotees, they can never forget, but sometimes it happens. So that's the point. So, and as soon as then the situation is corrected, then the devotee remembers the Lord, and then things go back to normal. So that's the difference. While for the non-devotees, they're going crazy because of their false ego. That's because that is their identity. They don't see the Lord. They don't see themselves as servant of the Lord. Therefore, the whole full retribution aspect must be implemented. Otherwise, they don't think something's wrong. And even if it's implemented, they still don't think something's wrong. Or they think, okay, maybe that's wrong. You know, like the kid tries to come in, you know, during the night to steal the cookies, and then he gets caught, and then, you know, like that. So he thinks, okay, stealing cookies at night is bad. I will steal them in the day. And then, okay, so he steals them in the day, he gets caught. Then that's a problem. Then he'll think, okay, in the day is a problem, but in the day when my mom's not at home, now that's the time you can steal the cookies. You understand? So that's just how it'll go. So no matter what retribution is there, they will just shift it to a different detail, right? Because in their mind, what were those two? The primary, secondary?
Purusharta.
Yeah, their Purusharta is, you know, enjoying the cookies, right? And so therefore then the methods to do that, they'll adjust that till they get it right. Does that make sense? You know, even if that means, okay, I can't eat the cookies in the cookie jar, but that doesn't mean I can't go online and with my mom's credit card order cookies that have them delivered, you know, and that. And so while she's at work, they get delivered, then I have cookies, right? And then I keep them somewhere where she doesn't, you know, generally, you know, check. So it would just keep on going till we get what we want done. Because we don't actually understand that Krishna is the Purusharta. And therefore, all the religious activities of the Kretvarta. Right. Does that make sense? So on the highest level, then Krishna will do anything to protect his devotees. And on the lowest level, we'll do anything to take care of ourselves. Right? Like that. So, yeah, we're just trying to reverse this a bit.
Reflection.
A reflection, yes, but... the original is better than the reflection.
Look almost the same.
They look almost the same. Yeah, they do. Like that. Just like when you look in the mirror, yeah, you think, oh, the most handsome. Yeah. Like that, but compared to Krishna, not really that good looking. You notice, all the ladies are all attracted to Krishna in the temple. Every last one of them. Yeah. Right? But they're not all attracted to the men. So we can understand there is a difference here, even though we may not see the difference, but those, in other words, those who count do see the difference.
You can also pull off some wild dresses from the mannequin.
Yeah, and he doesn't look effeminate.
No,
yeah, he still is the man. Yeah, because you generally don't see women attracted to cross-dressers. No, it's just like that. They sometimes find it funny, but mostly annoying, because they don't even wear it properly. You know, they make it look stupid, right? Because the thing is if someone wears women's clothes and makes it look stupid, then it makes women look stupid, so they don't like it. You know, like that. Unless they can do a real good job. If they do it so it's exactly like the women, Then they find it funny because it's a man being like a woman, so that's funny. How would they know? But if they don't do a good job, then it's not appreciated. So even though the men will, because the men, if it's exactly like the women, then they'll laugh that it's a man doing it like the women will. But if he's not doing it like the women, and he's making it look stupid, then the women will be upset, and the men will think, yeah, women are stupid, right? Rather than this guy is stupid. Right? So, yeah, so you have to be very careful with that one. So Krishna pulls it off with, you know, with ease and grace, so... Okay. I am the Supreme Lord over all. Okay. And I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has arisen from his power. Right? So when there's power, anything, any opulence, one can get distracted. So devotees shouldn't get distracted because they're committed to Krishna. But occasionally they do. Right? If they're always distracted, how will they have any position? How will they have any opulence? No, it's because they can generally always deal with it properly. That's why they have the facility. But having that, they could occasionally get distracted. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, you have to see, as if they're always doing it nicely and then get distracted, when that distraction is corrected, they go back to doing that service. If they're always distracted, then that's a wrong service for them. But this idea they're doing, and then they do something wrong, and they should never do it again, that's not... Krishna doesn't think like that, the demigods don't think like that, humans don't think like that, so, you know... You'd have to, you know, figure out which don't think like that. The demigods are my devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget my supremacy. But somehow or other he has become puffed up with material power, and thus is now maddened. I shall act in such a way as to relieve him of this false prestige. I shall give protection to my pure devotees in Vrindavan, who are at present completely dependent upon my mercy, and whom I have taken completely under my protection. I must save them by my mystic power. Verses 19 to 33. Shri Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Having said this, Lord Krishna, who is Vishnu himself, picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. Footnote 29. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 19 to Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So he does this just for his devotees, just to please them, because like you said, we could do it in so many other ways, but since they're in sweetness, then you do something in sweetness. They were in Vaikuntha, you do something in opulence. But the point is in opulence, how would it happen? In Vaikuntha, it's not going to happen. Right? Boma Lila pastimes, yes, it'll happen. Right? But you see here, in Vaikuntha, it won't happen. But in Braj, it still happens. Right? Yes. The Shingadev seems difficult to understand.
He's sweetness because of Prahlad Maharaj?
Depends who you are. The demigods don't see him as so sweet.
Exactly.
Yeah, they seem to miss the sweet aspect.
Yeah.
Depends where he is, how he's functioning, because he is the deity of Nanda Baba in Braj.
Right.
So he's in Braj,
right.
But at the same time, he's one of the 24 deities in Vaikuntha.
Right.
Right? And so that it depends upon the devotees.
Yeah. So it's kind of like when Krishna and Balaram enter the arena, come so that you just see differently because you have different.
Yeah. But in any case, you don't want to upset him.
Word to the wise.
Yes, yes. It's not a good thing. Sukadeva Goswami continued. No, we just had it. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. It should be understood that he had brought everyone near Govardhan when the huge clouds first appeared. Right, so they're all there. the storm starts, so then immediately then they all come to Krishna, who's right there already at next to Govardhan, and then he picks it up. So this is all happening very quickly. Yeah. It's not that they're all there and having to sludge through everything and this and that, and we're not doing that one. It's not a 1950s Hollywood production here. Right? No committee. Yes. Yeah, the committee. Have to call a meeting. He raised the hill with his left hand according to Harivamsa. He lifted it from the base. One can see the split just north of Manasaganga. So it seems that those who know, the split's still there. Have you seen? Anyone seen this? Where the split is? Just north of Manasaganga. So that's Manasaganga, so that's east, so that would be... So between Manasaganga and Kusum Sarovar, somewhere there you should be able to see it. That's far out. Never knew that you could still see the split. The mountain touched the clouds as a pastime, right? So then it comes up and it's poking the clouds that are raining. Now that they're not expecting, right? Then this game. He did this so that all of Braja could easily see, in order to exhibit Govardhan's great beauty, and in order to show that he could hold it easily. When he raised the mountain, a large stone separated from the middle of the lower portion of the hill and became situated in the middle of the hole. Krishna climbed on that stone and, fixing the lower and middle portions of the mountain in his left hand, he held it up comfortably. Water was prevented from coming under the mountain by the Lila Shakti. Right? Because otherwise you'd think it would just come in. But the Lila Shakti kept it from coming in. So it was completely dry underneath. And a stone separated from the middle there, and so then he stood on that, so then it comes up and you can see him nicely, because otherwise he's small and he's holding the mountain, everyone would have to kind of bend down. So he goes on the rock and that, and then he can do, everyone can stand nicely, because you see it was at the point where everyone could take their sticks and touch, so they could help hold it up like that. Sadrita sangato megahir giri savyena panina griha bhavam gatas tatra griha karena kar chasa. He held up the mountain to the clouds with his left hand. It became like a dwelling with the form of a splendid house. So even how it was arranged inside, it was this is like this very nice arrangement. You know, somehow or another, it just had this comfortableness and everything that a house would have. You know, so it wasn't that it was all ooky and there was worms crawling around. It was just nice, right? Yeah. He held the mountain in his left hand to make the people happy with the understanding that it was not tiring, right? Because if you're doing something serious, you do it with your right hand. You do something not important with your left hand. So therefore, he's holding up the mountain with his left hand. No one will feel he's straining, because otherwise they'll get an anxiety that he's straining. So he left hand. Since they were only interested in his happiness with no regard for their own lives. Otherwise, they would all die because of great sorrow. This should be understood in connection with other pastimes also. Right? So this principle that he does it so it makes it look easy and all that, then that's so that they won't be in anxiety. And that they're only worried about Krishna's welfare, not their own. So that's also there in every other pastime. It's not something that's just this pastime. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows.
If you wish, if you don't wish.
You still come under. It's like the Siamese cats. You wish, you like or don't like, they're still Siamese. Right? So, Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. He called to his mother first out of affection. Or he called her first to appease her because she was overwhelmed with worry and sorrow. Because everybody's going to be worried about him, but she's going to be the most worried, right? Fearing for her son, thinking that Indra produced showers in anger because of her son. right? Because then they'll think, okay, we're getting the reaction because we did, but Indra is specifically after him, so she'd be most worried about him, right? They're not blaming Krishna. Look at what you did, and that no one ever brought it up. Did we ever see any of the Braj Prasis? See what happened? You know, we didn't do our yajna. Now look what happened. Is anybody doing it? No one's doing this, right? Because that's because they're all pure devotees. Pure devotees don't do that. The I told you so is not for the pure devotee. Like that. He then called to his father with affection. If his father entered, she would follow. Right? So he called to her so that she would feel better, but called to his father because if he came, then she would come with him. He also called Rohini and others. As you desire, Upajosham, just as you lived in Braja, you can live here. Harivamsa describes that the area under the mountain measured 2 kroshas, about 4 miles. Right? Because I don't know if at this time Govardhan's natural height is 1 krosha high. So he's going to be 1 krosha high, then naturally he would be... No, 2 kroshas high. But 1 krosha high would be 2 kroshas across. Right? Because at minimum he'll be at 45 degrees. No?
Because it says 4 miles in the circumference. So it should be 2.
Didn't say circumference.
No.
Well, this is the height.
No, it's not that he's holding it up that. And then mentioned 2 kroshas. That could be across. You know, are we talking, you know, square meters here? You know, and then are we going to use calculus because the ground goes up and down, so a little hill, actually you have more surface area, or because it brings you close to the roof, then that would be... We're making the point, it's 4 because he's too high. It's 4 miles across because he's 2 miles high.
Yeah, that's yeah? What I was saying.
But that's diameter, not circumference. Circumference you'd have to take... that and multiply it times 3.
Sorry, I'm speaking in terms
of... Isn't it 2 pi r? Or pi r squared? No, I never remember.
Two pi r
is circumference. And pi r squared is the area. Okay. It's one of those that... Where's the reference? What do you refer it to, right?
Never use it anyway.
Yeah, you never use it anyway, so that's why... You know, it's they drill it in enough that you remember the formula, but what it's for, you have no idea, right? Yeah. Okay. But how could all of Braja enter the hole? It became huge by the power of his inconceivable energy, Krishna says in Harivamsa. So, even though it's that big, it became even bigger to hold. Because it's unlimited. The Dham is unlimited. Just like Dwarka is 10 miles by 10 miles square. Right? So 5 kroshas by 5 kroshas. But, just... Ugrasena's bodyguards, I think, are 10 trillion bodyguards. So it means those are the elite in the, you know, in the army. Right? Then you'll have your other people like that, and then you'll have the general army and stuff like that. So that's that many. So we have 7 billion, and we're talking about overpopulation. And this is just the bodyguards that were in 10 miles by 10 miles. You know what I'm saying? So... it has that form, but it's unlimited. That's the thing. Braja has a size, but it's unlimited. There is no limit. Does that make sense? Because it's not about the space. It's about how it applies in the pastimes. So Yogamaya then takes care of all this. Right? Krishna says in Harivamsa, Shailot Patana Bhur Esha Mahati Nirmita Maya Trilokyam Ap Yusa Hate Rakshitum Kim Punar Vrajam. Raising Govardhan, I have created this huge area. In this area, I want to fit the 3 worlds. What to speak of Raja? Right, so everybody could take shelter here. Right? But only Brajavasis will take shelter. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, because we have to understand it's feelings. That's what's going on here. Here the feelings are a problem. There, that's actually the whole point. Because mechanically, the mechanics of what goes on here is Krishna. So it works perfectly. We see in nature everything works very nicely. When we get involved, that's where the problem starts, because we don't tend to follow the mechanics, or we think that we're in control of it, or we're the doer of it, or we deserve the results of it. So everything gets mixed up. But otherwise, it goes on perfectly nicely, right? So therefore, when you go out into nature, what's the first thing you do? Do you go, wow, this is so well managed? You go, wow, this is so beautiful, it's so peaceful, it's so... whatever it is, some nice quality. Because the experience is there. So the whole point is Krishna, it's about the experience. So how nicely he makes these arrangements. So that experience you've created, I want this to fit the three worlds, what to speak of Braja. Right? Because if they're just packed in and the ones on the edge are getting wet from the rain and like that and cold, no, it's big enough for, you know, the three worlds. And then they can all fit in there very comfortably. Yes.
We were having a discussion yesterday about sometimes in the Parikrama here, you have like literally 5,000 devotees crammed into these. If you go now, you can see there would never fit 5,000 people here. But if you go in
that's interesting. That's a very good point. Yeah, it's true. Like Srivasanga.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you fit? You know, it's like, you know.
But
if you get 10 devotees, you're already bumping into each other, right? Yeah, that's a good example. Otherwise, how do they fit? Yeah. So so there's that flavor, that mood that he's giving that shelter, because then they can do so. And then you see that the traditional paintings, you see Krishna holding up Govardhan, he's on the rock, and then Vrajbasis around, and then so much space on either side. You can say, okay, well, they're just doing it in the tradition where they just put a few people and then that represents everybody. But at the same time, is that's how it would look anyway. Put more people, it would still look like that. Because that's what's comfortable. Right? Is it comfortable if you're right on the edge? No, you're way inside. You can't even hear or see or anything. There's no noise, there's no distraction, no winds, you know, then it's nice. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds, on being touched by Govardhan's hand, Govardhan became filled with bliss and attained inconceivable strength, so that when Indra hurled hundreds of thunderbolts on his back, they fell like the touch of flower garlands, and he expanded his form to 32 miles, so that all the inhabitants, cows, buffaloes, and other animals, could live comfortably beneath his shelter, because otherwise technically it's only 4 miles. But he expanded to 32. Right? So that means that's all the way over to, you know, Vrindavan and, you know, down to Kosha. You know, it's huge, but, you know. Yeah. But the other places most likely are also, everything's just working. So, because Indra can throw a thunderbolt and knock the top off of a mountain, right? Because he could cut off their wings, he could, you know, with this thunderbolt, it's the most powerful weapon, right? Other than Sudarshan, of course, but very powerful. But here, he's throwing hundreds, right? Hurled hundreds of thunderbolts, and they don't do anything. So to him, it's not like he's there and he's suffering and it's really like that. And, you know, so it's just, they were just like lotus flowers. If you had thrown a lotus flower and it just gently fell off. You know, so like that. You know, Krishna picks him up like a mushroom, and these bounce off like lotus flowers. Krishna says in Harivamsa, in lifting up Govardhana, I have made such a large area that all the three worlds could be protected there. What to speak of Braja? The animals on top of Govardhan, such as the deer and wild pigs and birds, did not find any difficulty from rain when Krishna lifted the hill, because according to Harivamsa, when Krishna lifted Govardhan, he lifted it as high as the clouds. Seeing that the clouds could pour rain only on the lower portions of Govardhan, the animals ascended to the top of the mountain above the clouds. Right? So Krishna took care of everybody. Right? Because all the wild animals and that, then they're not going to come inside with them. You know, nobody's going to be comfortable. Right? You know, it's like the devotees are telling me that the first flood they were in, not sure what year it was. I think 70, no. What year would it have been? 78 was a big. Yeah, no, I think it was 71 maybe or something. It was quite early. They were when they were living in the Bhajan Kutir. So that's all there was. And then when the flood came, then they all had to move up into the rafters. But up in the rafters was everything else also. You know, but it's interesting. During a flood, they don't bother you because everybody knows it's not normal. So you have all these snakes and this and that. They just stay on one side, and the devotees stay on the other one, and everyone just sits there peacefully. They don't bother. They don't try to make any trouble. We'd have that also. The Gurukul and the hill, we'd be on one side. They'd all live on the other, like that. You take some food over there for them, and they just stay over there. They don't come looking this side. They just stay over there. So there's an understanding. But so here is that they just went up, so they're not going to come in, because otherwise it's a tense situation, right? You're sitting here and, a few meters away there's all these snakes and all that, then it's not exactly, comforting.
It will be very tempting.
Yes, like that. But the point is they'll just stay over there. So you make it, then they have their place on the mountain. They just go up, and because it's the clouds are there and they're raining below. Above that, it's nice sunshine and that, so they get to go up there and spend their time up there. Sri Krishna continued, "You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged." Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. So that means just everybody was there. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Braja gazed upon him." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "The inhabitants forgot about hunger and thirst for 7 days because they were immersed in bliss on seeing Krishna continuously." So Krishna forgot about it. They forgot about it. So if he's not hungry, they're not hungry. This is explained in the Vishnu Purana. Krishna, watched by the inhabitants of Braja with eyes wide with affection, held the mountain steadily. It should be understood that Krishna stood facing everyone. Right? So it's just like with the cowherd boys. He's sitting in the middle, and all the cowherd boys are sitting around in circles, like whirls of a lotus, right? But everyone thinks Krishna's facing them, and everyone thinks Krishna's interacting with them. So Krishna's standing in one place in the middle, and all the Brajabasis are all around, all sides, but each one of them feels he's facing them. So this is how he uses his mystic power. It's not as God, he can do this, but he's not using it as God. He's using it just, because you want to see the person. So he arranges that everybody can see. But they don't feel they don't go, "Wow, this is far out." No, it's just that they're just absorbed.
Just as Chaitanya appeared in the seven parties.
Yes, Lord Chaitanya appeared in the seven kirtan parties. Yeah. So some could see this, otherwise how are they commenting? So some can see this. Mm-hmm. And most don't. They don't need to. It's the pastime is not seeing it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the pastime. And then a few more intimate, then they can appreciate, what Krishna is doing and the taste that's going on. So that increases there. So in other words, if everyone else was seeing this, they'd bring about Aishwarya. But it's not. They don't see it. And so therefore then just those are there, so it brings about that deeper sense of affection. It should be understood that Krishna stood facing everyone. At this time, the inhabitants' hunger and thirst disappeared on seeing the youthful beauty of Krishna, and Krishna's hunger and thirst disappeared on seeing the beauty of his beloved gopis. Right? So, in other words, everybody can look at him all the time, and he can look at the gopis all the time. So in this way, everybody's happy. It should be understood that Mathura Mandala did not become inundated with water, because his Ichashakti dried up the water immediately. 60 Gatikas make up one day. 7 days passed as if it were one Gatika, 24 minutes, for the inhabitants of Braja. Right? So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he's using the 24-minute one. Because when we do the Muhurtas and that, we generally use according to the moon, we use the 24. Because that's then how the moon works. Right? The sun, then you work by 30-minute Gatikas. Does that make sense? And then the the civil day then uses different from that. So that means they all use different things. So you see which one they're applying to. But the point is there's 60 in a day, so 60 times 7, mm-hmm. right? Is so, but they felt as that it was only one. So even though it was hundreds and hundreds of gatikas, they thought it was just one. So that's the point. That's one of the points of this transcendental ecstasy, is that you feel that a moment is like a kalpa, or a kalpa is like a moment. Right? So here it's that 7 days seemed like just this, and so everybody felt like that. But you see, the prema and the gopis is even greater. That one night of Brahma, which is 1,000 cycles of the yugas, passed by in a moment. Not even a gatika, just a moment, a blink of an eye, a night of Brahma went. So we can see is that intensity of their devotional service is even greater. So because of that, then Krishna, he's going on nicely. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.